Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to everyone, especially if you're new. There will be coffee served in the lounge afterwards, and it'd be lovely to meet you there. We also give a special warm welcome to those who are listening at Carr's Court and to anybody else who'll be listening at home. Not least, we welcome Alan Mimack to take our service. And he will be leading the service after the introit. There's only one notice, which I've just remembered. There will be a retiring collection for the World Mission Fund at the end of the service. So the introit by the choir is, Father God, fill this space. Thank you.
You are one with us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you were brought up in a home in Nazareth with Mary and Joseph and your brothers. Thank you that you have put us in a family. We quarrel sometimes. We know we shouldn't. But thank you that most of the time we feel that we belong as a family. Today we want to thank you for our mothers and those who care for us at home. If we were left without them, who would cook our meals and mend our clothes? And who would we tell about the things that have happened to us during the day and at school? Who would be there to turn to when we were miserable and unhappy? Thank you for the love they show us. Thank you for the way they work hard for us, and forgive us for the times when we've grumbled or upset them, and help us to show our love to them in many helpful ways. And let us, as we pray, remember all those mothers throughout the world, those who haven't enough food for their children to eat, those mothers who don't know what's going to happen to them, those mothers who have lost their homes. And we think of those who are going through a bad time, finding it extremely difficult. Lord, bless them today as we think about them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing "He's Got the Whole World in His Hand," 536. It's daffodil time. thank you. Hold on. Now I'm going to have a prayer before our children leave. Thank you, Father, for their presence with us this morning, sharing in our worship, sharing in our lives. Be with them now. And be with all of us as your family we meet together. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from 1 Samuel, chapter 1, and verses 20 to 28. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I have asked him of the Lord." The man Elkanah and his household went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, that he may appear in the presence of the Lord, and remain there for ever. I will offer him as a Nazarite for all time." Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. When she'd weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine. She brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." She left him there for the Lord. Amen.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 19, beginning at verse 25. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you both. Let us pray. O O God of grace and love, in thankfulness for all that you have given us through the loving care and hard work of our mothers, we pray for your richest blessing upon all mothers. For those with difficult homes whose children are more of a problem than a blessing. For those with difficult husbands who find it hard to be constant and loving. And for those with loved ones far away and those who are lonely. For those who find it hard to make ends meet or go short themselves for the sake of their families. For those who are nearly at the end of their tether, and for those mothers who are trying to make Christ real to their families, and for those who do not know him as their Saviour, nor how to cast their care on him. For each one according to her need, hear our prayers and draw all mothers closer to you today. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing together the hymn number 119, and a collection will be taken during this hymn. Lord, for your gifts, we thank you for the gifts of our relationships, for the fellowship within our church, and for the gifts that we bring to you, that this may continue in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and this is also Mothering Sunday. And Mothering Sunday goes back many centuries and originally referred to the Mother Church, not specifically mothers. But later in history, Mothering Sunday was the time when sons and daughters returned to their mother church within the diocese and visited their mothers with cards and cake as a celebration, and they would all go to church. Mother's Day is based upon an American celebration which is regarded as a holiday to commemorate our mothers, and this celebration only goes back to the early 1900s. You could call it a secular celebration, even though it is on a Sunday, and it has no direct link with religion like Mothering Sunday, which is linked with the period of Lent. Father's Day, of course, is about the same age, about 100 years old, but specifically was to have been founded by Senora Dodd in 1910 in the United States of America to commemorate her father, who brought up the family after her mother had died giving birth. And it does have a link, it doesn't have a link with religious festival like Lent, but who cares if it is celebrated or celebrating love and devotion. It's like Christmas Day. We've got it all mixed up now, so Mothering Sunday and Mother's Day all seems to be very, very confusing, and it's like Christmas Day. Some people will celebrate it without the Christ, and other people will just find it's the most important thing to celebrate it within the context of Christianity. But what are the links between Mothering Sunday and Lent? Well, they seem to mix up the mothers and the church bit, but it's stated that Jesus encountered his mother in the streets of Jerusalem on his way to the cross, and so that's why it's linked with the Lenten period. And I've already given you the second one, with those going back to the Mother Church. And another theory is that the epistle for the day at that time contained the text, Jerusalem, Mother of us all. Well, you take your pick, take your pick. But today I am not preaching about the church. I'm preaching about mothers. And so I will be using throughout my sermon the term Mother's Day, because I am not commemorating a particular Christian festival, but thinking of the mothers from every creed, from every colour, from every culture on this day. And I wish to concentrate and show appreciation for those who gave birth to us and shared the ups and downs of our lives and the joys and the sorrows of life. Now, I know in many ways that things are quite different today from the world I knew as a child. But I did have a mother, and the qualities that she had as a mother are not far removed from the qualities of good motherhood today. Fathers today may be more hands-on with children than when I was a child. My father didn't lift a thing in the house except a pint. My father took me out for a walk when I was very young, and I got knocked down by a bike, and I don't think my mother was too keen on him doing that again because he was probably talking to a pal he had met en route and didn't have that sharp instinctive awareness that mothers seem to have. They seem to know what you're doing before you've done it. She did allow him to take me to school once when she was pregnant, but we had to wear handcuffs. My mother's father was a policeman, so handcuffs were available. But it wasn't the custom generally in my childhood for mothers to work full time. And I am guessing when I say that I have no recall of it being expected or the general rule for mothers to have a career as such. All I know is that my mother worked at home and always seemed to be around, and I remember that seemed to apply to a lot of mothers in the area where we lived. They created a community as they met and chatted on the street corner and as they did their shopping and over the garden fence when they hung out the washing. And when you needed help, you could call on a number of people for support. I'm not criticizing that today things are different, nor am I saying that they are detrimental to home life. I am saying this is how my mother expressed her role given to her when she married and left the factory where she worked. I do not know if she resented it. I did not have any sense that it was a great sacrifice to her career when she became a wife and mother. That was not spoken of. One aspect of her motherhood, which I'm sure would apply equally today, was that we felt safe as children. She expressed what Jesus felt when he looked at the city of Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." He uses a mother hen to describe his deep feelings of wanting to protect them from harm. I remember as a child that my mother welcomed into our home a soldier from the local barracks because he was far from home. And he would come to have a few home comforts and decent meals. And his name I can still remember, Bill Patton. And he used to play all sorts of games with us as children. And my mother suspected he began showing an unhealthy interest in my young sister. And when it was clear my mother's instincts were right, she waited for his next visit. And when he cheerfully arrived, she was ready for him. Now, my mother didn't have a short fuse like my father. She could take all sorts, and they didn't faze her, and she always seemed to be the calm in the storm. But on this occasion, she was fearsome as she exploded, and I never saw a soldier looking so scared as he took off, and we never saw Bill Patton again. Why didn't my father deal with it? Well, sadly, he had prematurely died 12 months before, so my mother was the sole carer and also the defender. The parents have a very difficult time protecting their children from predators. The internet can now get into their bedrooms, get into their minds, and their persuasive chat is destructive. Nor can parents protect their children from the bombs in Syria, and how agonizing it must be for mothers and fathers who try to give security to their children, wanting to gather them under their wings, but the warmongers reign over them. I don't want to sound prejudiced against men, but I don't see how we can become exactly tuned to be equal in every aspect of our relationships in the caring of children. But on a lighter note, a long-distance lorry driver who had 12 children, how he had 12 children being a long-distance lorry driver, I don't know. But they were expecting the 13th, and he had to get time off to look after the children when she was in the maternity hospital. And when the labour pains came, he was near enough to rush home. And when she was in the maternity hospital, he rushed home to sort the children. And he decided to apply a firm hand on the first night when he lined them up to get them all out of his hair and into their bedrooms. And one young boy was resisting by loud crying, and the lorry driver shouted at him to get upstairs. And he cried louder, saying, "I don't live here, I only come here to play." The good shepherd, assuming Jesus was referring to a man, knew how many sheep he had, and he knew when one of them was lost, and he was never happy until he had found it. He already had 99 safe in the fold. Why bother about one? Not this shepherd. And how heartbreaking it is, or it was, for us to see one particular mother who all her life wanted to know where her son was buried by the Moors murderers, Liam Brady and Myra Hindle. He was lost, and she wanted desperately to know where he was, to bring him home. And it haunted her until her own dying day. And just days ago on television, the film Philomena was broadcast again to show the agony of a mother to know where her son was. A lifelong grief because she saw her son taken and given to a rich American couple by a convent who took in girls rejected by their families for getting pregnant before marriage or for other reasons. A mother manages her child's body when it is too young to feed and dress and bathe. You don't have to have a degree before you can do that well. But a wise mother will want to do the best for her child by learning all she can to promote her child's welfare. But in the end, a successful mother who enables her child to develop into a healthy, independent, and socially minded adult will have done a great job. And a mother who is unfortunate enough to give birth to a child with health problems will also have done a great job in the good start that she creates by establishing that close bond, which we call love. No. It is not saying I adore babies. That's a sentimentality, not love. No, love is much more crude than that. Love is crude in the sense that it involves at times possessiveness. It is my child, not yours. It involves generosity. That is doing the very best for the child by giving in a generous way for that child's welfare. It means that there is also power when we have to make boundaries for the children, and that they know what is the difference between right and wrong. And that is when we have to apply that kind of power. It involves also the peace and quiet that we get when they've gone to bed, a sigh of relief when we have that quiet moment when we can recover from looking after them. And it's also a time to thank God for the precious gift that he has given to us in that child. And there is the falling out when we have to disagree with a rebellious child. Love is all that and more. Benjamin Spock, who wrote books on parenting, retracted a statement in his more mature years because he'd been telling mothers all along, never say no to your children. Advice he had given, but which he had to retract because it was so confusing. What I am saying is that a wise mother will listen, but she will be at her best when she trusts her own judgment, because she has to take full responsibility for her child, not the experts. And the child is from her body, but she doesn't treat the child as a lump of clay that she wants to shape into an image that she wants, but rather to allow that child to grow into its own person. And if you love your child with all those elements in it, that you are giving them a great start in life, and every mother in this congregation will say to me, I've been there, I've done that. I know we all want to give an idealised picture of our own mothers, as I do. I can clearly remember my mother having given birth to 5 daughters and 2 sons, and widowed at a very early age, seeing 3 of her daughters lose their husbands through early death, and also losing 4 of her grandchildren in early death. But I remember her particularly with tears in her eyes when one of her daughters went off the rails and got into trouble, and she cried, I must have been a very bad mother. My sister disappeared from our family life, and no one, as far as I know, knew where she was. There was absolute silence. There must have been some awareness that she was still alive, but it was never conveyed to me. And I was very close to her. She looked after me. And if she saw any bullying, she was ready for the fight to defend me from neighbourhood gangs. But any news was kept from me if they did know. And as a lad at school, my sister went out of my life completely. I was taking an evening communion on this site in the old church in the early days of my ministry here, in the first year. And when the congregation came out of the lessening light, as I was giving the bread, a face looked up and shook me rigid. It was my sister that I hadn't seen since I was at school. And she rushed off without telling me where she lived. But eventually a communication was made. And I wish that my mother had lived to see that moment. And she would have been thrilled that her troubled daughter became the loving wife of a husband and a loving mother to her own 3 boys and a girl. And I've met them all, and they told me at my sister's funeral what a loving mother she was. She had also set up an organization in the community in which she lived to care for vulnerable people, and they spoke how much that she had helped them sort out their lives as she defended me and sorted me out from the bullies. My mother made sure her children went to Sunday school, and I think that you will appreciate how much that means to me personally. We are right to celebrate and set aside a Sunday that we call Mother's Day or Mothering Sunday, I don't care which, to rejoice and praise God for mothers all over the world, and particularly for those who live in very difficult circumstances. We're going to sing the hymn 187, The Angel Gabriel, and then we will take communion following this service. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, let us confess our sins to God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, in all that we have not loved you with our whole heart, we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive us what we have been. Help us to remain. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
We say the Lord's Prayer as our Saviour taught his disciples. We pray.
Thank you.
We are the body of Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Share the peace. Lord and giver of every good thing, we bring to you bread and wine for our communion, lives and gifts for your kingdom, all for transformation through your grace and love, made known in Jesus Christ our Saviour. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We praise you, gracious Father, our Maker and Sustainer. You created the heavens and the earth and formed us in your own image. Though we sinned against you, your love for us was constant, and you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of the world. Sharing our human nature, he was born of Mary and baptized in the Jordan. He proclaimed your kingdom by word and deed and was put to death upon the cross. You raised him from the dead, you exalted him in glory, and through him you have sent your Holy Spirit, calling us to be your people, a community of faith. And so, with angels and archangels and all the choirs of heaven, we join in the triumphant hymn, Holy. Holy God, we praise you that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Saviour Christ took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death and resurrection, and proclaiming his eternal sacrifice, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as we declare the mystery of faith. Send down your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him forever and bring us with the whole creation to your eternal kingdom. Through Christ. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. And now, prayer, we do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness. But in your manifold great goodness, we earn where this. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me shall not hunger, and those who believe in me shall never thirst. We're celebrating the communion in the pews, and stewards will bring it to you, and we hold it, the bread in our hand, until we all take it together. Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. Take a drink in remembrance that Christ shed his blood for you, and be thankful. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament. You united us with Christ. Give us a foretaste. Sing now together a closing hymn, Tell Out My Soul, hymn 186. Say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.